God is a God of renewal. I hope you saw in that video, which we've used here before, I hope you saw that there. Maybe you have experienced this for yourself. God is a God of renewal. He wants us to be renewed. And through us, He wants to renew this world. I wonder if at all, while you watched that video, you said to yourself, gosh, I could use some of that renewal. Doesn't this world need some of that? Good morning and welcome again to Park Church. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Park, and this is a surprisingly beautiful morning. I thought it was going to be, you know, end of the world stuff. We'll get there. You see up there, renewal. That's one of our eight core values here at Park. Those are the sort of principles that underscore all that we do and that we try to do here. These are our guardrails that keep us on track. Periodically, we take one of these values out on a Sunday morning and we unpack it a bit. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And so I want to get right to it. So here it is, renewal. And you could follow along up there. Park Church is a community for the world. We value all efforts to join God in the renewal of all things in Christ. As we are made new, we become agents of the gospel in every vocation, relationship, institution, and endeavor for which God has made us and the world around us. In this way, we point the world to the hope and promise of what is to come, when all things will be made new in Christ. Now, you might have heard in that paragraph the repetition of the phrase all things and the terms new, renewal. This language didn't come out of our own goodwill, but it came right out of the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. In fact, it's something that Jesus actually says to describe what God will do in and through him in the future. I am making all things new, he says. Jesus says this at the second to last chapter of the entire Bible in Revelation 21, a chapter that captures a wonderful vision that God revealed, hence the word revelation, to a man named John to give to us about the future, about the end of the end, or really rather about the beginning after the end, a vision that we're going to look at in a moment. Before, though, we get into it, just a few words about Revelation. It might scare people a bit. It gets a bad rap, right? Isn't that the book with scary beasts and dragons and horrible plagues and bowls of wrath and the stuff of nightmares? Yes, it is. It's that book, but it's not that scary, and it's really misunderstood. Our culture and Hollywood and book sales really like this kind of thing, but our culture, some seems to think it's a literal depiction of what's going to happen at the end of time, but that's really not what Revelation is about. More than a literal depiction of the future, it was written to be a message for today. For the first readers of Revelation, it wasn't about their future as much as it was about their today, because they lived in a world with this big bad Roman Empire 2,000 years ago that was hostile to Christian faith. The demands placed on them by their world, the cultural pressures to bow down and worship what wasn't really God, this threatened their faith, and this threatened their existence as Christians. They were in their own end times, I would say. They didn't have to look to the future for it. They were living it. The book of Revelation starts out with seven letters addressed to seven different churches in seven different cities throughout Asia Minor, which is like modern-day Turkey, basically. And these letters set the direction for the whole rest of the book. Each letter exhorts the church for their faith to overcome. That's like a big word in Revelation, that their faith would overcome. It means that their faith would be victorious, that it would conquer. For some of these churches, they were poor and they were oppressed, and they were literally persecuted for their faith. And for them, Revelation was a message of deep comfort. For some of the churches, they were wealthy, And they too easily compromised with the powers that be. And for them, it was a stern warning to change things. In every case, though, Revelation was written to strengthen the faith of the churches it was addressed to sort of give them guardrails, to give them values, to keep them straight, so that their faith would overcome, meaning that it would survive and thrive. And listen, this is the most important, so that it would be clear by their faith to the watching world who it was that they really worshiped. It would be clear through their faith that they worshiped the God of Jesus Christ rather than the gods of the world, the gods of power or of culture. Faith that overcomes is faith that bears true witness to the true God in a world filled with untruths. It's faith that truly shows who God is. Don't you think that we need that sort of faith in the world today? In a time where things seem uncertain, where things are changing, where there is a lot in society that threatens our faith. And I'm not talking about things that threaten our faith, like not having prayer in school or taking God off of the dollar bill. I'm talking about things like a faith that commands us to feed the hungry in a world where every day millions go without enough to eat. That threatens our faith that we exist like that. I'm talking about a faith that commands us to love the stranger in a world that more and more encourages us to be fearful of those who are different than us. That threatens our faith. The message of Revelation means to strengthen our faith and inform our values so that our faith overcomes, so that it will be clear to the watching world that we exist in who it is that we worship. So the passage from Revelation that we're going to look at today, where this all things new language comes from, it's at the back of the book after the plagues and beasts and bowls of wrath. Here is where it's all headed. Here is where creation is all headed. Here is where God's intention for the entire world, here is where it's headed. To Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John, the guy who received the revelation. This is him talking. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. This is the throne of God. This is a voice from that throne. It says, see, the home of God is among mortals. It's among people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who is seated on the throne, that's Jesus. He says, see, I am making all things new. And he also said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, this new holy city of God, all things new. But what is at the center of all of this newness? What is it really for? You see it up there. The home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, his people. God himself will be with them. The center of God's intention for all of creation, where it's all headed, the center of it is God's relationship with us, with his people, with you. It's to finally remove the distance between him and us, remove that veil that separates us from really knowing and seeing God as easily as we see each other this morning, or from really following and walking with God the way we walk with our friend down the beach, by faith and by sight. Because then, just like today, although God is present to us through his Holy Spirit, his presence is provisional. It's incomplete. And you get this already. We get pieces, we get glimpses that God is actually here and with us, but we don't see it every day in an overwhelming way. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says it like this: "Now we see God in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now we know only in part, but then we will know fully." The way we experience God now is not the way we will always experience God. God's final intention for creation is to renew the way we experience Him, to renew our relationship with Him, so that there is nothing between us, no veil, nothing that separates us, so that we are with God and He is with us in a direct, tangible way. And with this, you see up there, He plans to wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more death, no more pain, mourning, crying, suffering. These first things have passed away. Everything that causes us pain and suffering, gone. Working as a hospital chaplain, I see a lot of tears. I see a lot of mourning and pain. I see a lot of death. Hard things. Every week as I work there, it's just more and more, too. These things don't stop accumulating because people don't stop getting sick. People don't stop suffering and dying. I know, though, I don't need to tell you these things because I know that you know pain and suffering yourself already. You don't need me to tell you about it. But hear this promise of renewal, straight from God's own heart. It will not always be like this. Not only will God erase the distance between us, but He will erase the distance between the world as it is and the world as it should be, the world as God intends it to be. No more pain. Kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And with this, God will make all things new. And all things means all things. God doesn't simply renew us and our relationship with Him without renewing our world, too. Because if you think about it, it's our world that causes us pain. We don't exist as isolated individuals floating around on clouds or souls without bodies. We were created to exist in a world with others and with nature and with things, things that lead to suffering. Because when God created the earth and mountains and seas and single-cell organisms and plants and animals and finally humans, God was creating a world where we could all live and function and go together. A world where, think about it, we have families that we grow up in and that we're responsible for growing others up in as well. And so what would it mean for God to renew you without renewing your family or your other relationships, like friendships, like people we work with or people we rely on for work? God created us to live in a world where we have to eat and survive and provide for others. And so we have work to do. And we have a food chain and a food supply to be a part of. We have natural resources that we're given dominion over and charged with taking care of. We're part of a larger economy, a local, a national, a world economy that's meant to exist to provide for the betterment of all. And in a world with these things, supply and demand, we have to have things like structures, like institutions, like governments that are meant to provide stability and reliability and safety and order in a chaotic world. And as people existing in a time and place, it means that we have culture, we have language, we have art, we have customs, we have worldviews. And when our world causes us pain and sickness and death, we have the means to combat these things. We have medicine. We have healthcare. God gave us ingenuity, which means that He gave us a responsibility to take care of those who are in disaster, natural, systemic, self-created. All of these things, these are the things that happen when human beings live. And when human beings are active and prosper, these are the things that in one way or another, God has actually given to us to at least provide the space for God's love to happen. And at most, these things can actually become instruments of God's love and care for us. God preserves the world for us through these things. There are a kind of popular and silly image out there of a disembodied heaven, right, where we float around in clouds, and there's nothing but us in these clouds, evidently. But that's not an image from Scripture, especially from Revelation. If you keep reading this, this is a city with streets, with buildings, and with walls and gates and rivers. This is a city with people living together. So for God to renew his relationship with us means that he also means to renew the world in which we live, all things. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about and think about, because I think so much of Christianity gets this dead wrong these days. Christians can get really stuck wrongly thinking that God only cares about me and my problems and maybe people who are just like me, as if God doesn't care about the world or about our environment or culture or about people outside of the church, as if it's just God and me. No, all things new. God's relationship with us, our relationship with the things that cause us pain, and even those things that cause us pain themselves, all things new. What we see from this vision, and what I want you to see about renewal, is it's one of our core values because it is God's core value as well. God is a God of renewal. It's what God is all about. This final vision, this is the resolution of all that Scripture was going. This shows us his primary but most basic intention to renew all things. It's who God is. It's what the cross here, it's what the cross of Jesus was all about, the very center of our faith. In Colossians, Paul tells us that through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether in heaven, on earth, to himself, by making peace through the blood of the cross. The cross was God's flesh and blood enactment of his intention to renew all things in him. And it pleased God to do this. God is and was and always will be a God of renewal. And this is what the entire story of Scripture paints. It starts with an empty universe, God creating light with a sun because we need lights. Let there be light is the first word God says in the Bible. It continues with God and man and woman in a garden with a tree, and then humans in a world that quickly falls into what God didn't intend. And then God's entire work, Israel, Jesus, the cross, resurrection, the Holy Spirit, the church, God's entire work has its goal as getting us back with him in a garden with a tree. If you read the rest of Revelation, you'll see that's exactly where this ends. In a tree in the middle of a garden that has leaves for the renewal of the nations, next to a river where life flows out of. And there is no sun or light because God himself is that light. The entire scope of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation proclaims to us that God is a God of renewal. And as God's church, that first line, as Park Church, we are a community for the world. We value all efforts to join God in the renewal of all things. So just because this vision in Revelation is one of the future, it doesn't mean that we simply sit on our hands and wait for it. This message is meant to strengthen our faith now so that our faith overcomes now. God is a God of renewal today as well. This directs us towards two immediate implications for us. First, and you'll see it up there, as we are made new. Change, renewal, real renewal always starts with you. This is the way God works. He renews us so that we can join him in his renewing work. And I mean this in the most practical way. How do you need to be renewed? What would you love to write on a chalkboard to be able to flip and show renewal on? Maybe you are someone who's having a hard time with faith right now, a hard time believing. The things about God that once seemed to make sense don't seem to make sense anymore. Or maybe there are things about God that you could never find yourself believing, but you find yourself here anyway. Maybe your experience is so far from this revelation vision of you walking with God, it's so far from that that you couldn't even imagine that. You need your faith to be renewed. Let me say, we are so glad that you are here. We are a community for the world, which means that we are a community for every person, of every stage of belief or disbelief. This is a place where we hope you can find renewal. And if I may say so, I think that community groups are absolutely the best place for you to find and re-find faith again. If you're struggling with faith, the way to have it renewed is not to not be around other Christians. It's to be with other Christians and allow your faith to be renewed by them. I love our community group, so that's just a pitch for them. Maybe you are someone who is struggling not with faith, but just with who you are, what makes you you, the things you put your stock in, your accomplishments, your career, certain relationships just haven't worked out. Or maybe things have worked out so well for you that you've lost who you are in the process. You're bored or just tired with who you are. You need God to renew you, yourself. And what about you, for whom the tears in the eyes and the pain and the death just hits too close to home? You who need your heart renewed. If God were to wipe away your tears right now, imagine what that would look like for you. The message and promise of Revelation and the whole New Testament is that it's not just someday down the road. It's for today and tomorrow. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us, if anyone is in Christ now, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. It means that the faith that you do or don't have or could never imagine having, it means that that can be renewed by Jesus to become something that's alive and vibrant and beautiful. No matter how much you are wrestling with who you are, it means that you yourself can be renewed by being liberated from that struggle and put back on your own two feet and freed to go and be and really live as you have been created to be, with warts and all. It means that your heart, your eyes filled with tears, that lump in your throat, you can be renewed and restored even in the midst of these things that cause us so much pain and mourning. When we come to God with what we have, our hands filled with our messes or our hands completely empty, God is faithful to renew us, to make our things new, to make something beautiful out of us. You saw some of that in the video. What we want is to see you renewed. The next time we do a video like that, we want to see you with a chalkboard in your hand, writing about how God has renewed you. That's what we are for here at Park Church. If you want to be renewed, and if you need help with that, I want you to take out one of those Connect cards and write it on the back of it, and we will pray for you, and someone will reach out to you to figure out how to help you find renewal. But it's not just us who are renewed, and this is the meat here. As we are made new, we become agents of the gospel in every vocation, relationship, institution, and endeavor for which God has made us and the world around us. For as comforting and as hopeful as that message of Revelation is, it is also there to challenge us and to warn us as well. Because the beautiful vision of life with God without pain and tears, that's also there to confront us with the reality that that's not the world we live in right now. That vision is not what we see today. That this world is in fact a place of pain and tears. And that real change, real repentance, real transformation is required. This world needs renewal, and we are its agents in every vocation, relationship, institution, endeavor, in everything. And so let's think about it. In your vocation, the thing that you spend your time doing, how can you be an agent of God's renewal there? If you're a teacher, how can you shine light back into the darkened faces of the kids you know who are up against more than they can face? And please, I'm not talking about getting fired for talking about Jesus. But I'm talking about how you share Christ with them by the way you treat them, or by the way that you stop others from treating them. If you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're someone who's charged with taking care of the vulnerable and the sick, how can you make it so that in your care for that person, they feel cared about by God, who is their great physician? Teachers and doctors and nurses, that's easy. What about the vocations that aren't so obvious? What about the person who writes code? What about the corporate lawyer, the architect, the product manager? How can you bring about renewal in your place, in your position? This question, this might be the most important question that we ask as the church, is how do we become agents of God's renewal in the world that we live in? Because if we are to be a church of renewal, if we are to be out in the world bearing witness to Christ in our vocations, then this question must be on our minds as we walk out of these doors and walk into our office doors on Monday. Well, not on Monday, on Tuesday. We're off this week. It says up there, relationships. Family, for instance. Do you know that unless you are really intentional and self-aware and reflective, you are bound to repeat the mistakes of your parents? I mean, you're bound to repeat some of the good things as well, but the mistake, the sins of the fathers, we call them, these things get passed down generation to generation, perpetuating the cycle. And I bet as you get older and you get married and have kids and then you see your kids have kids and whatnot, you see this. Who will break the cycle of the father who is too harsh on the kids or who is absent? Who will break the cycle of the mom who smothers her kids and doesn't let them grow? Who will break the cycle of the marriage that doesn't set an example for their kids on how to love one another? You can. You are called to be an agent of renewal in your family. That cycle can stop with you. In your friends, in your neighborhood, with your colleagues, you can be the one to stop the backbiting, to stop the dragging of each other down, to stop ignoring the problems and the pain because it's too hard. You are called to be God's agent of renewal in those relationships and bear witness to the gospel because of it. The next one up there is institutions. This is the hardest one to think about. But if God is a God of the world and the world needs institutions to provide structure and safety, it means that He will renew those as well. We are called to be agents of His renewal there. Now, not all of us, or even most of us, but some of us are called into local, state, federal government, can be an agent of the gospel in those realms. Lord knows that we need it. Imagine if we had a government filled with Christians who were driven not by lobbyists and not by greed and by re-election, but by a burning desire to use our nation's resources to be used to protect and save life, for peace, for taking care of the vulnerable, those who don't have enough, who are oppressed. A theologian I really like tells a story. He's a bishop in England, and this kind of wealthy financial executive politician type comes to him and says, "Bishop, I've come to Jesus. My life has been changed forever because of it. I can't believe I never saw this, but I'm so inspired now to follow Jesus. I think I'm going to quit my finance job, and I'm going to go to seminary. I'm going to be a pastor or a missionary. I'm going to work in the church. What do you think?" The bishop looked at him with compassion and knew this was going to be a tough answer. He said, "Jim, we need pastors, We need missionaries. We need church people. And I'm sure if you did that, you would be great at it. But what the world needs is Christians who are in positions of financial leadership, who can change the way the economy works, who can change the way the world works, whose value is to renew people who need it. The same thing goes for healthcare, for education, for labor, for the church. The church is an institution. God wants us to be involved in this world to make it a better place, to be creative and to organize things and to run the world, to be a place where little moments or big moments of God's renewal happen, wherever we are, in our vocations, our relationships, every endeavor. In this way, it says up there, in this way, we point the world to the hope and promise of what is to come when all things will be made new in Christ. That is why we value renewal. Think back for a moment to that image in Revelation. Life with God face to face, every tear wiped away, all things new. Because it is to come, God means to strengthen our faith now to embrace it, now to enact it, now to work towards it, to join God in the renewal of all things in Christ. When we do, God will not only make beautiful things out of us, and the world will not only be a better place, but the world around us will want to join in on Christ's renewal as well. Now, before we pray, I'm going to invite the musicians to come forward. That song that you heard in the video, they're going to perform that song for us. While they perform it, I want to invite you to do any number of things. One is just sit and listen. Two is you can sit and reflect on it, and if you think of it, take that time to write on your Connect card how you need to be renewed. The third thing you can do is, as they're playing, take time to pray. If you need renewal, pray for yourself to be renewed. If there's someone around you, some institution that you're a part of, whether it's your family or whether it's the United Nations, pray for that. If you happen to know the song, you're free to sing along as well. But first, let's pray. God, we thank you for this vision that we see in Revelation of all things new. We know that is where we are headed. We pray, Lord, that you would work in us now to be agents of that renewal ahead of time. Lord, we pray that with our work here at Park Church, with our time spent in community groups, you would renew us. We pray, Lord, that through this body of believers here, we would send out more and more agents of the gospel to bear witness in our relationships, at our work, in our families, in every institution that we're a part of, in everything. Lord, I pray, we pray that you would grant this church your spirit and empower us to be your witnesses in this world in a way that we haven't before. We pray, Lord, that you would rain renewal upon us and in us and through us to Monmouth County. And we pray the same, not just for this community, but for every community of believers in the world. God, we pray that your renewal would come, that you would strengthen our faith, that you would cause us to get more and more glimpses of your presence with us, that for every tear that we have, for every moment of pain that we live with, you would wipe it away in small pieces. Lord, we pray that you would grant us hope in a world that needs hope. We pray that you would transform us in a world that needs transformation. We pray that you would renew us so that we can be about your renewal today and tomorrow and moving forward. We thank you, Jesus, that you are with us through the power of your Spirit, and we look forward to the day where we will see you face to face. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.